If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I was blessed to be raised in a churched home. My mother and father taught me that to whom much is given, much is expected.
This is why identity politics can never work. Every person at his core has one particular thing that they really identify.
He ran in 2008 as saying that he was open to all kinds of restrictions on abortion, and yet his administration never put forward any restriction on abortion of its own, and that's something that they should be held accountable for, too.
Archaeology shows that again and again. I do not know of a single discovery that shows the Bible is simply wrong.
Anglican priests in Wisconsin, surrounded by Lutherans, love issues, etc.
You have heard about the alpha male. That's a picture that comes to mind. And a lot of men are by nature that alpha kind of a personality, a desire to be in control, a desire to lead, a desire to organize things. And if someone else won't do it, well, I'm going to do it. It's kind of part of the American dream. And it's become part of the American dream, not just for the males, but for the females as well. We're going to be talking about alpha females and the detrimental effect that it can have on marriage. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Wednesday afternoon, the 15th of February. Joining us here in studio to talk about alpha females and marriage, Suzanne Venker. She's a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's a regular contributor at Fox News and author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Are you yourself an alpha female?
So apparently I am. I can't say I walked around labeling myself all these years, but when you really sit down to think about different personality traits and how we describe them, this was just one way that I chose to describe a personality like mine and many people I know and a lot of the women, well, pretty much all the women in my family. And so an alpha female, the way I define it is just, it's just a go-getter, very task-oriented, likes to be in control, is really good at taking charge of things, making decisions and following through, you know, all of which are perfectly good traits and have their place for sure. But this book focuses on what can potentially be the downsides.
Of all the qualities that you just briefly mentioned there, it strikes me that some of them are more problematic than others. And just off the top of my head, the tendency to want to be in control, is that a problematic quality with the alpha female?
That is. And so that's something that while it can be advantageous in certain areas, and certainly in a marriage and when it comes to love and men, it is not a good thing at all because men, as a rule, do not like to be told what to do. And they're not interested in getting married so that they have a wife who does tell them what to do. And I think for women, this becomes an issue down the road in marriage. I think that when you start out, it's not so dominant of a thing. But especially after children come, and especially in that role, that you are in boss mode, you know, when you're raising kids, and that can spill over, we should say, into your life as a wife. And that's where the problem comes in.
We're going to talk about a lot of those qualities here in the next few minutes and be kind of critical of this, of the alpha female scenario. But there are scenario situations to which our conversation just simply doesn't apply. Exceptions. You have actually a disclaimers page at the beginning of the book. What are the exceptions?
I do. I have a disclaimer right at the get-go so that people understood that we're talking about a marriage that is safe, in that if you are with somebody, a man who's abusive in any way or addicted to drugs or alcohol, or if you're just in an unsafe environment at all, this book would not apply to you. This is strictly for the average married couple who struggle in their communication and in their daily lives without those other pieces present, if you will.
We're going to talk about why it is that often with the alpha female scenario, of course, men are a whole other book mm-hmm. that we could write about their fault in these things. But you're speaking as a woman. Why marriages might fail or be in trouble because of the alpha female scenario. Does it also explain why many women never get married or don't get married?
Oh, absolutely. And why they're divorced. Because that's the truth. The truth of it is, I say in the book that there are so many women who do not learn to turn it off, so to speak. And because they can't switch mode from controlling mode to loving part of a union where you have to compromise and sacrifice and all the rest, because they struggle so much with that, they end up single or divorced because they can't get out of it, you know? And so, and of course that is simplifying it. There's much more to a relationship than just one person's behavior. On the other hand, I do think today in today's culture, it's not a coincidence that you hear women who say, I don't understand. I'm so successful in life or at my job, but when it comes to love, I'm not successful. And I would argue that this is why.
You actually tell your own story in talking about the alpha female. Tell it to us briefly.
I do. So I had a very strong alpha female mother, and I talk in this book about a spectrum. I do not believe that all alpha, first of all, I don't believe all of us or most of us are 100% alpha or 100% beta, and I don't think either one of those is good at all. I think we're all some mix, but that we lean toward one side. And you can kind of think about the couples that you know. You can kind of, if you go through in your head, yeah, she and he's this way, and this person over here is this way. So you can kind of, it's about a personality. But for me, I think that we tend to either adopt what we know, what we saw growing up, or we specifically reject it because we really hated it growing up and don't want to be anything like that. And then, of course, there's, our personality that we come into the world with that we don't really have a lot of control over initially. So there's a lot of factors at play. My mother was a wonderful person and had 1,000 fabulous qualities, as did my father. But together, it was problematic, and it had a big effect on me. And I didn't want the same thing for my marriage. And while it never even reached close to the same level, I still felt like it was not as peaceful as I wanted it to be and that I thought that it could be. It was just, the way I describe it in the book is that my alpha tendencies were bumping up against his alpha nature. And I think that's an important point when it comes to male and female, because it is a gender issue as well, not just a personality issue, and that men have all the testosterone. They're naturally alpha for the most part. And of course, that's a very politically incorrect thing to say today because gender is supposedly all over the place. But typically speaking, men have the testosterone and are the alpha creatures. And then women are more feminine, but we've been groomed to get that out of us and to adopt male traits. And so our alphaness, if you will, not necessarily in my case, because it's not always the same reason, but a lot of women today are adopting this role because that's what the culture has taught them to do, and they're suppressing their more feminine side because they think that's bad. And so I'm addressing that a lot in the book, even though that wasn't my particular story.
What is your particular story with being the alpha?
So I talk about a couple different examples as to why women become alpha. And one I just named with respect to the culture, but also my mother's father lost his job during the Depression and never worked again. So her money was a huge problem for them growing up. It was constantly there, and an issue. And so I think for her, she never felt like she could, quote unquote, depend on a man. Her mother ended up having to support the family after he lost his job. So it was just, she was also raised by her grandmother who lived in the house while her mother had to work. And she was a very, very alpha, hard woman. So my mother didn't have, she was not a self-reflective person at all. She, if 1 + 1 didn't equal 2, she was lost. I mean, she just was very literal and just didn't have the capacity to look inside, what can I improve about myself? That just was not something she would have known to do. And so I think she adopted this from her. I think it gets passed on. And unless you specifically decide to break the chain, you're kind of stuck in that rut.
And for you, how did it manifest itself in marriage?
Just too much conflict, unnecessary conflict, like conflict that wasn't big, like the big issues you hear about when you talk about marriage. There weren't divorce issues. They were just, it was stupid stuff. It was little stuff. It was stuff that didn't need to be. And I really got tired of it. And my husband got tired of it. And it was just a journey and a process of trying to figure out, what he grew up with was complete opposite of what I grew up with.
complete. So we were coming at the whole thing very, very different places, and we just had to find a way to meet in the middle.
Was it two people, husband and wife, vying for control of this of the same things? Is that what was going on?
Yes. I guess, yeah. I guess that's how you'd say it. Well, here, I'll just give an example. I could care less anymore about having the last word. It means nothing to me. I don't think it was that way for the first 15 years of my marriage. And it's not because I wanted to one-up him, at least not consciously. I certainly wasn't thinking of it that way. I think because of, this is what I go back to about, I don't think it's anything purposeful. I think it's a natural outgrowth of what we're doing during the day. So for me, like I was a teacher before I was a mom. First I was a teacher, so I had the control of my classroom. Then I was at home with my children for years. They're almost 17 and 14. I'm still home, but of course they're much more independent now. But I was in sort of the boss of them. And then if you look at what I do, you know, I debate for a living. I write these very provocative books that require making an argument and defending them. So look, if you just look at everything I do, of course it would be natural for me to just come home and bring that into the home. And I didn't mean to do it. It just was happening and I didn't like it.
What did he think was going on?
I think he thought I was just raised this way by my mother and this is just who she is. And he would fight against it. See, I think men do one of two things. I think they either fight back, which is basically what my husband did, because they're trying to say, this is not what I want from you, or they give up. And the giving up is bad because ultimately, when the men give up, the wives basically rule the roost, and they're ruling their husbands, and the husbands are emasculated. And that causes major problems in the bedroom in a big way, but also just in general. And it's not a pretty scene, I don't think. So I had a husband who just would never have allowed that to happen. So he just kept fighting back. And I guess it just, you know, like I said, it was a process of figuring out what was really going on.
When you say give up, great word, because I've seen it happen.
Yes.
But does the husband then become submissive?
Yes.
To the wife?
Yes.
Does that tell the alpha female wife, because you talk about the alpha wife, mm-hmm. does that tell the alpha wife, well, now I really got to take control because this guy isn't exercising any leadership anymore?
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly where we are in this country and why you hear women saying, where have all the good men gone? Because they are looking for, well, that's a larger question outside of marriage, but they're wanting men to step up to the plate and they're not realizing that they drown them out. And oftentimes. So it's a yin and yang thing. And what's really unattractive about what we just described is that, or here's what's ironic about it. Women don't want that dynamic that we just described, where the man is submissive to her any more than the man does. And that's never talked about because we always think, you know, we groom women to be leaders and we just talk about them as being strong and independent and leaders. But we never talk about the fact that, yeah, they may want that in a certain domain, but no woman wants to have control over her man. They don't. I don't care if they may look like they do, but they don't. In fact, I make the argument that the more domineering and dictatorial she becomes, the more she's crying out for her husband to take over.
What was the watershed moment for you in your story as an alpha wife?
It was silly, really. It was the opening of the book talks about the A1 sauce bottle, which is just a manifestation. It could, you know, could have been anything else, but we were sitting down for dinner and I noticed that there was a bottle of A1 sauce for his steak on the floor, like instead of on the table where it should be. And later when the dinner was over and he was doing the dishes and I came in and I asked him what the A1 sauce was doing on the floor. And he said, well, you never like it when I use sauce on my food. And I realized for whatever reason at that point, I realized, wow, that's really horrible. Like, this man can't even just eat his dinner in peace because I was at the time talking a lot about sauces. Now we shouldn't eat sauces on our food because that's extra calories or it's not good for you. And I was teaching it to my kids, too. I was saying, you know, you always need sauce on everything. So since they were there and he was there, you know, I guess, you know, he got the message from me, too. And so it was just one small example. In and of itself, it's not a big deal. But it's for me, it stuck out as I don't want to tell him how to eat.
He was hiding the A1.
He was hiding it. He was hiding it, and he shouldn't have to hide it. And it's not, you know, you can have several reactions to that. The way I read that now, looking back, is that's a giving up. That's an example of, I'm just done fighting with you, so I'm going to have what the hell I want, but I'm just not going to listen to you bark about it, so I'm going to move it. That's what I got out of that. I didn't want that. I wanted him to put the damn thing on the table if that's what he wants, and me just to just move on and talk about something else.
So that's the story in part here with Suzanne Venker, author of The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. As a teacher, you need to exercise a lot of control. As a mom, she had to do the same thing. The question for after the break, how do you find your way back to where you are today from alpha to beta? I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Oh, all I need is to be free. That's what I keep telling myself, and I tell you, you don't need me.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You could even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. Performancefitness618.com.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest Issues, Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, Etc. journal.
O morning star, O morning star, shine with bright
joy. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking alpha females and marriage. Suzanne Venker is our guest here in the studio, author of the book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. So Suzanne, your story, you're a teacher that requires a lot of control, planning, discipline, that requires staying on top of the situation and being decisive. You can't cede control of the class or chaos ensues. And being a mom is kind of the same thing with your kids. So the threshold between that and where you are now, how did you find your way back to where you are today?
I wouldn't say back. You mean, how did I find this place at all? Because I was never this way before. It was not overnight. It was not overnight. And even this book took 4 years total to complete for a couple of logistical reasons. But also at the end of the book, I said I didn't want to put this book out until I had become sufficiently beta, is the way I put it myself, as a wife, because I didn't think that was fair. And I want people to rest assured that I'm the real thing and that it can happen and that, it, you know, you can do it. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. So it was a journey. And I would take several steps forward and then hit a wall again and steps forward again and then back again. And it was just this long process until eventually it became so second nature. Now I think about the way I was before and I pretty much cringe.
What was the most difficult thing to overcome?
Shutting my mouth. Not speaking. Just not letting the words, letting other people's words just sort of be what they are. And if I have an opinion about it, or if I know something that they don't, or if I want to correct it, just don't do it. Just don't correct it, or just don't give your opinion. I mean, this is really foreign to me because I'm a very vocal person, you know, for a long time, I'm like, well, this is my personality. My husband picked it. So obviously he likes it. So get over it. You know, this is in my head what I'm thinking. And I can't change who I am. This is how God made me, blah, blah, blah. And it isn't true because for one thing, we have brain research has exploded in the last 10 years. And you can actually train your brain to think differently and even behave differently if you make a commitment to it. So I talk in the book about these mantras that I would say to myself over and over. And oh my gosh, there were so many of them. But
like
I would,
what?
Oh, like, well, this is separate. We haven't mentioned this yet, but I wanted to start moving slower and talking slower because I feel like that was part of, this is a whole nother piece to it. But I really feel like men, for the most part, when they're home at night, want calmness and not a lot of chaos. And women like myself tend to run around like a chicken with their head cut off. We're always doing one thing or another. We're never sitting still. We're just always moving to the next thing. And he just wanted to relax and just have me sit. And I'm a terrible sitter. So I would say something, you're not in a hurry. Something about not being in a hurry. And I would just repeat that over and over again. I'm not in a hurry. I have plenty of time. I'm not in a hurry. I have plenty of time. That was one. So whatever it is that you want to change, you just come up with some short quip about that, and then you repeat it to yourself over and over throughout the day. But it takes a long time because you have to say it a lot until it becomes more second nature.
How did it change relationships other than with your husband to go from alpha to beta?
I don't know that my friends have noticed yet. I don't know. I don't know because I'm so used to being in two different modes now that I think when I'm out with my friends or out with the world, they still see me the same way they always did. So they're kind of taking my word for it. You have to ask my husband and my kids. They're the ones who are probably the better people to ask about that. Honestly, I don't think my people in the outside world see much of my being slower at all or talking less. In fact, I'm trying to get all of it out during the day so that I can shut up at night, you know, or move slower at night.
How did it change your relationship with your kids?
So that's really an interesting one. My son's a little bit young to have sifted through all this. He's 13 and he knows I've written this book and he's vaguely knows what it's about, but he's young, you know? And so it was more with my daughter because my daughter is a beta by every stretch of the imagination. And she's just lovely and beautiful and feminine and quiet and just a better person all the way around than I am. And so we have an interesting relationship because we don't have the same personality, but we love each other to death and respect each other. But I feel like I learned from her and she learns from me. But she has definitely, I think, enjoyed watching this process for me. But she also is very careful that she doesn't want me to be too much not like who I am. And I'm certainly not arguing that people not. And that's an important thing to understand. I'm not saying that being an alpha female is horrible across the board at all. I'm just saying that there's a place for it, a place and a time.
You have said that with your daughter, you've actually, as you just said, learned from her. Mm-hmm. What kind of things have you learned from?
Well, I would ask her, if I was upset about something with my husband, I would ask her, what do you think? How should I respond to this? This is what I want to say. What would you say? And she'd come up with the much, much better way of saying it. And then I would do what she told me to do. Bill doesn't know this, by the way. So if he hears this, he will be smiling because I have not mentioned this. And it worked. She was right. So her natural way, well, for example, instead of telling somebody what to think or what here's the right way of doing it and correcting them, have you ever thought of this, honey? She'd say to tell me that. Well, if you ever, you know, to make it a question. I mean, really, I mean, how sad that I have to get that out from her. Because I've never seen that model. That's not how my mother operated. So,
you write about femininity. You say that it's not what a woman spends her time doing or how she dresses. But it's, what do you say? It's an attitude? It's a way of life?
Yeah, I think it's an acceptance and an understanding that is where your power lies. It's in being a woman when it comes to, I'm talking about, again, love and marriage here. I'm talking about your relationships. That is where your power lies so that you want to get into that mode as quickly as possible when you're with your husband or significant other or what have you. So just to describe femininity really quickly, I think that's important. It means being soft instead of hard, easy instead of difficult, and nurturing instead of dictatorial. That's what being feminine means to me. If you throw in a dress and high heels, that's great. So for me, I think of it, those first three things are the most important part, and that has to do with your attitude and your behavior when you're dealing with or approaching your husband. If you dress in a certain way or accentuate those other things that get him visually going, that's just a feather in your cap or whatever. But it's, you don't even have to be dressed up. You don't have to be beautiful. You don't have to be thin. You don't have to have makeup. I mean, feminine is not models. I mean, yes, men like that. But when you're talking about marriage, that's not what gets them. What gets them is your receptivity and your softness and your kindness. So those other things I just think are just added bonuses.
Here in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 15th, talking alpha females in marriage, Suzanne Venker, a married mother of two children in St. Louis, a regular contributor to Fox News, and author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. So what happens to that femininity with the alpha female? We'll answer that question right after this.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking alpha females and marriage. Suzanne Venker is our guest, author of the book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. Suzanne, we were talking before the break about femininity. You gave a brief description of it. What happens to it with the alpha female?
It gets buried. I think it just gets buried. I think it's there. But I think we're so conditioned. As I say, in my case, it was very personal because I come from a long line of alpha females, and I'm sure that's many other women's stories. But you might not come from an alpha female, but you might have gotten from the culture that you should be alpha. So there's various ways, again, of getting there. So this wasn't my story because my mother wasn't a feminist and never gave me any of that business, but a lot of people I know did get it. You're just conditioned to bury that side of you because supposedly you're oppressed as a woman and the whole goal is to be equal. So therefore, you have to act like a man in order to be heard. And the irony of that is, while there might be some validity to that in the workforce, there's zero validity to that in love and in marriage because competitiveness has no place there. And that's what's, I think, happening when you get rid of the feminine, you start acting masculine.
You're not against women working in the workplace, but you just mentioned something about the workplace. It's very important, and that is it is a competitive environment.
Absolutely, it is. And that's really, really so much of this is about that women have been groomed to be competitive. And that's probably a better word for masculine. We could just use that as a definition for masculine. That's really what we're talking about is taking that competitive spirit into your relationships that you're using during the day for another purpose. And it has no place in a marriage. It's never going to work. If you see yourself as a competitor or a quote unquote equal, and I don't mean equal in value or worth. I mean, if you see yourself with your husband as just two friends sort of bringing the same energy to the table, doing the same things through the day and having nothing unique to offer one another, you're almost like roommates. I think you're going to have a problem eventually because you're not capitalizing on the natural differences that is what makes a marriage work.
Capitalizing on those differences, does that then either explicitly or implicitly encourage a husband to step up and do what he's made to do in that relationship?
Absolutely. And I think that is such a major problem. That's probably the underlying problem, I think, in modern marriages and relationships is nobody knows who's supposed to be doing what. And this and women specifically are the ones saying that they want their husbands to do more and to step up more and to so they don't have to do everything all the time around the house. Well, okay, it's also possible that he's so used to your doing it that he's been conditioned to do sit down because you're just going to correct him or get it done anyway. So what happens if you just stop? Change the pattern. If you make a move, he's going to have to respond differently, like at any old dance. So it's possible that you, as the woman, you're complaining about this, but it's possible that you're leading that, you're making that dynamic occur. And especially if you have few expectations that he's going to be able to do it to your satisfaction, that's another thing you have to get comfortable with. If he does take over and do something, he's not going to do it your way, and you got to be good with that. And alphas have a hard time with that because they're perfectionists. They want things done the way they want it done. So that's a whole other thing.
A woman says, look, for good or for ill, I am a career woman. And I got to be alpha when I'm in the office. How do I turn it off when I go home?
You have to start by reading. Honestly, this isn't a plug either. You have to read this book several times and really put its principles into action and think about it. It's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. But we're really talking about changing the way you think about marriage or relationships and how that's a whole separate domain from the workplace. And since women haven't been taught to think about them as separate, they've just been groomed to be this one thing and nobody ever said, but by the way, don't apply this to love because that's not going to work. It's new to them. And so it's uncomfortable. It's definitely uncomfortable at first. The beauty of it is that it's so quick to see the response that it's very easy to keep up with it. And I'll give you a quick example. The very first person to do a review, read the book and actually write a little bit of a review and then interview me for it. Her name was Laura Wellington, and she has a website called Thread MB, and she considers herself a very progressive woman, very proud of that, and I think a lot of her followers are very progressive too. And she called me at home after she read it, and she said, I got to tell you, when I first started reading this, I was really put off. I was scared. I didn't know. I kind of thought it was crazy, but I kept reading. And the more I read, the more compelling the ideas were. And I had just broken up with my boyfriend. And so I decided to put these principles into action. And several days later, I had gotten this email where she wrote, you're a genius. And I didn't know at the time what she was talking about. But later she admitted that in a matter of days, they were back together and it worked beautifully. And she's sold, completely sold on the whole concept. So
you have a whole section on having not just low expectations, but you say zero.
I know.
Expectations. I know. What are you talking about?
So that took a while to come up with. God, how do I want to say this? Because I don't know that I should say zero because I don't want people to come out and say, well, what do you mean? So if you have no expectations, then he can just do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But the reason why I ended up saying that is that I really truly believe that women are suffering terribly today from and very inflated expectations of men and of marriage and of happiness and what they're supposed to be getting out of life. And the higher those go, the inevitability of your being disappointed is just, it's a surefire thing. It's going to happen. And so then I would come to like, okay, let's lower them a little bit. And then I thought, well, lowering doesn't sound good either because, today society is all about reaching for the stars and having whatever you want and this whole inflated idea about life and what it owes you, really. And the more I got into it, the more I realized, God, just having any expectations ends up backfiring unless the expectations are so reasonably low. Like, I expect to be loved. I expect to be not hurt. I expect to be cared for. I expect to be heard. You know, some there's just very basic things. That's fine. But anything over that is where the troubles start to I mean, you can kind of liken it to the whole idea of money. You know, you, when you get enough money, if you don't have enough money, you suffer. If you have enough money, you're good to go. But when you sometimes have too much money, that can cause problems of a different sort. So it's almost like finding this place that's real simple and happy and not looking for more than is reasonable to expect. So yes, I said go into it with no expectations. That way you don't have, you're never disappointed. And if you do get it, you're really happy. And if you don't, you never even gave it any thought, so that's fine. And then there's no conflict.
You're also not saying, well, I should be able to have these high expectations, but this guy, I'm going to have to lower my expectations with this guy.
No,
which is really a very
right.
passive-aggressive thing, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
And so that's why at first I didn't want to say have zero, because I thought that's what people would take away from it. And you just have to read the chapter. No, not at all. You should not lower your expectations to the bare minimum of type of a guy. No.
You just mentioned money, and you talk about using money as a weapon. What are you talking about there?
So actually, this isn't my opinion, but the research has shown that when women are breadwinners, they're the main breadwinners, I should say, not a breadwinner, big difference, but the main breadwinners, or the more money they make and the more money they control in a marriage, the more conflict there is in the marriage and the more problems there are. And the reason for that is that women tend to use that income as a power play. Whereas if it's reversed, because men are naturally made to provide and protect, it's more natural for them to be the main breadwinners, and they use it in a way of caring for their family. And if there are conflicts, which of course there are in traditional households, there's definitely conflicts over money, but it tends to be more about what the woman is spending, what she's spending it on, and how it gets used. Whereas when it's reversed, it's more of a power thing. You know, your money, my money. And then she is resentful because he doesn't make as much, which rarely happens on the reverse, because men don't care whether or not, for the most part, how much money their wives make, because they consider that their job. So it's a different ballgame all the way around.
What does it do to men when the alpha wife is the primary breadwinner?
So that's, you know, that ups the ante considerably. So far, we haven't talked about money with respect to this alpha, because I don't want people to think that this is about a book about women who make more money than their husbands, because that's not what this is. But that is a component of it, for sure, or it can be. And there are some men who will say they have no problem with that. And who am I to say that isn't the case for those people? I have a hard time believing that they're not lying to themselves, because I think that, you know, men are pretty much define themselves by what they do, and women pretty much define themselves by their relationships, and that it's always been that way. And so when you take that away from him, he flounders. And so it's harder for him, by and large, to sort of ride the coattails of his wife in a way that you really could never say if it were reversed or done in the more traditional way. Which, by the way, just for the record, most people still have a traditional arrangement, which is really important to note, because we talk so much about women in the workforce, but you have the portion of the population of wives and mothers who are not in the workforce, which is about 30%. And then you have another 30 of the 69% that are in the workforce who only work part-time. So it's a very small percent. And then of those breadwinning wives that you hear about, most of them are single moms. So there's a very, very small percentage. I think it came out to like 18% or something, where you have women earning more than their husbands. That's still very unusual.
When a woman starts the trek back, or in, as you said in your case, to, because you weren't to begin with, to from alpha to beta.
Yeah.
What's the first step you recommend?
Come up with one thing that you think you can reasonably try and remove from your plate, whether it's a behavior or an action, that is something that takes over. It could be something as small as, or when your husband gets home, for example, it could be something as small as not talking to him for 30 minutes. Now, that sounds kind of nuts, but you know, they use the, when I was on Fox last week, they used a segment from that movie, The Breakup, and Vince Vaughn was screaming at Jennifer Aniston and about all the things that he's upset about that she does to him, he says. And one of those was, you know, you start harping on me the moment I walk in the door. I don't even have a minute. You know, now that women work too, we kind of can see how that feels. And that happens to me. I don't like that. I wouldn't want to be barked at when I walked in. So it could be something as simple as, today I'm not going to talk to my husband for 30 minutes after he gets home or we get home or whatever. I'm just going to wait and see if that 30 minutes of silence makes him more loving and receptive.
Should you tell your husband you're doing this?
I wouldn't take a hard line about that. My first reaction is no, there's no need to. Why? I mean, why? This is all about, remember, this is about you bettering yourself. It's about stopping. It's about not looking at him and deciding what he's doing wrong today. It's about looking inward and saying, what am I doing wrong? So if you're trying to improve something about yourself, why do you need to involve him at all, right? Just stay focused on yourself. Don't talk about it. Within 24 hours, he's going to see. I can guarantee that, because something's not right and he's liking it, whatever it is. So it's very fast. And I think it only takes doing one or two things and seeing the result that's going to keep you on the track of realizing, oh, I'm going to try the next one and then the next one and the next one.
When did your husband notice?
He noticed all along, but he also noticed that I wasn't being entirely successful with it. But you see, he doesn't complain. He doesn't rant and rave and doesn't complain. He just, you know, one of the things I really love about men that I think they don't get any credit for is I think they notice everything. But they just don't say anything. They either accept it or they're just too, because they like to be respected, they don't tend to be disrespectful because they don't like that themselves. So, and they don't like to be bugged, so they won't bug you. So they tend to do what they don't want you to do. And so there's a lot to be gained from that, because when I look back, I think, God, there's so many things he could have said that he didn't say, but I could tell he saw it, but he was just sort of not bugging me about it and waiting for me to figure it out myself, which is not my way of doing things. That's not how I operated before. Now it is, but I didn't then. So I would say he was noticing it all along, but it was pretty recent before it really became obvious that, okay, she's really different.
Well, we'll turn from husband to son on the other side of the break. We're talking about alpha females in marriage. Suzanne Venker, author of the book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, is our guest in studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Stay tuned. Talking about a forever after. Don't you give up, don't you dare give in. Don't you give up, don't you dare give in.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Suzanne Venker is our guest. We're talking alpha females and marriage. Suzanne, you were talking before the break about your husband. I'm curious about your son. You said, I think he's 13, so some of this may be off in the future. What are you teaching your son about a future wife on the subject of the alpha female?
So that comes up in our house a lot, just by nature of what's going on and what I'm writing and what the conversations that we have. I am pretty vocal with him. He's almost 14, actually, next week. I am pretty vocal. He's not into girls at all yet, but we've been very vocal about, if you run across a bossy woman, if you see a bossy girl, which tells you what to think or how you should be or whatever, just turn around and run. Just turn around and run. You can be friends with her, but that's all you can do. Because that's not going to end well. You want somebody who's loving, who's sweet, who's kind, who respects you, who thinks you're the berries and all of that. None of that nastiness. And if you see it, just run.
That's going to be hard for him, isn't it?
You know, it is, because I think, gosh, I mean, I'm not quite there yet, but in terms of seeing my son out with girls, but from what I hear, you know, girls today are definitely, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to be, you know.
They're being trained to be alphas.
Yeah. And so either that's all he's going to have to choose from, or he's going to have to, or, well, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But it's going to be difficult. And I do worry about it because of that fact. And I know, like, how it's going to be hard for him to find somebody who's just simply a nice girl who doesn't want to tell him what to do. I don't know. I'm not there yet. It's going to be, I'm kind of scared.
What are you teaching your daughter, even though you say your daughter's already beta by nature? What are you teaching her about future marriage in this?
I think what she sees in me or in us is just that things can be really difficult. But if you're committed and if you can look in the mirror, you can make it work. You know, as opposed to thinking, oh my gosh, we have to get a divorce, or this is terrible, or fighting all the time, or having a lot of conflict in the home. You know, we don't have that. And we didn't really have it before. It was nothing like, again, if we have to understand my frame of reference is there was just a tremendous amount of conflict growing up in my home. So for me, I mean, my threshold is so different. Now for my husband, there was never any. And then boom, one day his parents got divorced. And that's a whole nother thing where you have quiet, quiet, quiet. And then, by the way, I'm going to completely blow up your world here, which is basically what happened with him. Because he was maybe 11 years old when that happened. So, you know, we all bring our junk to the table when we get married. And it's not an easy road to try to figure out. But I hope what my daughter sees, or even my son too, but my daughter's taking it in differently because she's older, is that you just keep at it.
The whole goal of the alpha wife, at least one of them, one of the goals, is to change this guy in some way.
Yeah.
But how did going from alpha to beta actually change your husband?
He doesn't feel that he has to fight to be heard, so he's not as frustrated with me. That's one thing. I think he feels more comfortable to be who he is because he doesn't feel like he's under a microscope as much. He's just freer. I think he's just happier. He's very receptive. I mean, like, he used to spend a lot of time in the basement. I call the man cave. We call it, everybody calls the man cave today, right? I haven't seen him there in half a year, at least. I mean, he's just not down there anymore. So that would bother me a lot. You know,
he's not trying to get away from
me. He's not trying to get away from me, you know, and that's, God, I mean, that's just so cool. It's just great. And I didn't, you know, for a long time, I didn't think he was trying to get away from me, but now he's being more kind of the way we were when we first knew each other. You know, it's more if it's like he's making overtures because he wants to be with me instead of trying to run away from me, go to the basement, turn on the TV. Oh, my gosh.
At the end of the book, you have these do's and don'ts. I want to run through them in kind of rapid fire. I'll say what it is. You just give me a brief explanation.
Okay.
You say, do hope, don't expect. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Hope that things will go the way you want them to, but don't expect them to. That way you won't be disappointed. And if they do go that way, great.
You say, do ask, don't demand.
Right. Never make a demand. Ask sweetly, kindly, or if it has to be a demand for some reason, I don't know. Do it naked. I don't know. Be creative. Figure something out. No, really, don't demand. But demanding is always bad. A man does not like to have demands made on him.
You say praise him and thank him. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. You know, I'm not somebody who personally needs a lot of praise. I mean, that's honest to God true. I don't know why. Maybe that's a flaw, but I just don't. And I don't give it very easily to, now I do to my children. Now I'm talking, but I mean, just adults here, I always had in my head, well, adults are adults, you know, and I'm not somebody who praises a lot. But I think men need praise. I really do. And now I see how easy it is to give it and what the benefit of it is. So now it's easy, much easier than it was before. It was never really hard. Let me just say, it was never really hard. It's that I never thought of it. That's the truth. I never really thought of it.
You say yes instead of no.
That one was hard. That was really hard. So my natural reactions, my kids would say to everything, no, 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 you know. Definitely come from a family, a long line of no's. It just took a long time for me to just say, okay. So my husband just asked me for years, can you just say okay? So when I say something, don't play devil's advocate. Just don't say, because there's so many ways you can say no. Without saying no, you can question it. You can ask them to think about a different angle on that. You can, and there's just different ways of saying no. And I had a whole bunch of them. So now I just say, okay. That's all I do in my head. Okay. I mean, I must say okay 15 times a day. It's getting a little old.
This is a huge one. Let him save face.
Yeah, so that would be like going back to what I was talking about with if I know something is that he said is wrong, I don't necessarily tell him. I just let him figure it out.
Be kind.
Yeah, that kind of speaks for himself.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah, be kind.
Here's another self-explanatory one that everyone's ears will prick up. Don't nag.
That got me in some trouble last week. Well, I didn't say nag, but the show that I mentioned on Fox that they showed, that clip, it was all about nagging, that the character was nagging the husband. And the Fox News gal just, but it's not nagging. You know, she just did not like that at all. And I said, well, call it, pick another name if you want to. But to a husband, it is nagging. You may not see it as nagging. You see it as being helpful, right? Trying to show him how to do it or trying to make everything, put everything in its proper order. And if you didn't do it, nobody would. Or whatever your thinking is, you think of it as benign. But to him, he reads that as nagging. So you just flat out can't nag. I don't know how else to put that, but just don't nag. I mean, if you have something you really have to say and something you really need done, you need to say you need it done with in a sweet way, in a nice way, without an angry way, without a you didn't do it this way, but just say what you want done and he'll do it. Not probably on your time schedule, though. That's the other problem. It'll be in his own thing, but he will do it.
And the last of those I wanted to mention is something you already talked about before, which is if you have to ask yourself whether or not you should say something, don't say anything. You said the hardest part was keeping your mouth shut.
Unquestionably, that was the hardest one. Alpha personalities have a lot to say, and that's not a bad thing. But sometimes it's good to not say anything at all. And because I have so many things that come into my head throughout the day that I want to say, I mean, they can't all be necessary. So I go through in my head and I think, okay, how necessary is this? Does it have to be said? What will happen if I don't say it? And I find that most of the time it just doesn't need to be said. And that's how I went through deciding what's... Plus, the less you say, the more he hears. The more you say, the less he hears. Because men don't talk like that. They don't talk every feeling they have. So they're not prone to that. So they'll perk up if some space has gone by between the things you've said than if you're constantly talking.
Two final questions. Are you criticizing strong women?
I like strong women. I like strong women a lot. I think all my closest friends are just like me in that respect. They're all alphas, really. Obviously, there is so much to like. It's just in this really one area that it just can be problematic. That's all. And I think that we can all benefit from bettering ourselves when needed. So that's how I look at it.
Finally, how do you respond to someone who says that you're blaming marriage failures entirely on women?
Yeah, I can see someone thinking that, and I appreciate that. I don't see it that way. I see it that women have a very unique and special role in marriage and in a relationship with a man because they are the relationship-oriented sex, much more so than a man. So just knowing that and being the more nurturing beings, you know, we carry the children, we're unique from men. The flip side of saying you're blaming is to say, but I also have the power. So it's really looking at the glass half full or empty, which way do you want to look at it? So I don't look at it as it's your fault. I look at it, I have the power, so let's use it.
Do you like yourself more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Because I used to look at women. I think I still do because I'm not really where I want to be yet. I'm not there entirely. I look at women who are softer and move slower. I guess like my daughter, people like my daughter, and I'm envious. I think there's just a lot there. And I think our society really focuses on the loudest among us and the people who are really vociferous. And I think that's to our discredit because I think the beta personality, male or female, you know, it's not bad to be have a beta personality as a male, as long as it's not too much so, that there's a lot to be gained from that personality. And we don't talk about that. We don't focus on that because if you're quieter or if you go about something in a different way, you're overlooked often. But I think there's a lot to learn there.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis, a regular contributor to Fox News, author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. You can purchase it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thanks for joining us for our in-studio Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we will talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about worry. He calls it the idol of worry and prayer. Here's just a little sneak preview of what's in store tomorrow during that conversation. Brian talks about worry as the liturgy of money worship, that worry demands from us what belongs only to God, that is fear, and that worry is for pagans, for people without a true God, and especially without Christ. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.